Ballerinas community. I'm your host, Georgia Dostal, and welcome to the Balanced Ballerinas podcast. Join me as we explore mindset, self-development, movement, nutrition, small business insights, goal setting, and the profound impact of ballet. Tune in for inspiring conversations with sometimes really incredible guests, or it's a solo episode like today, but all aiming to help you find balance between grit and grace through a regular ballet practice. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Balanced Ballerinas Academy, offering in-person adult ballet classes and online courses. I'd love you to check out the show notes for links to join our fantastic community or visit balancedballerinas.com for more information. Now, today I have hook, line and sinkered you with a title of this episode that is a little bit cheeky. Would you like a high distinction in your ballet exam? Here's how. So, I'm really excited to actually share with you my secret to achieving your best ballet exam mark yet. It's not just about talent. Yeah. When I was a young student, I worked my butt off. Yes. This natural ability did not exist. Definitely there's some natural tendencies. I've got, you know, the right shaped legs and feet for ballet, but I have terrible turnout and I had other things that I really, really needed to work on. So I don't want anyone to think that I didn't have to work hard for my exam results, because I really did. And I truly believe that it is always comes down to just dedication, preparation, and mindset. Because for the record, I feel as though I'm quite qualified to talk about this topic, because I never received lower than a high distinction. And my final ballet exam before going to the Australian Ballet School, because when you go off to those kinds of schools, you actually don't continue ballet exams. So the highest I got to was my advanced foundation in 2005. So I would have been 15 years old and I received 95 out of 100 marks. So back then, actually, we also didn't call that a high distinction. High distinction actually didn't exist. That's only been brought in recently. So back then, it was just distinction. But that would be the equivalent today of high distinction. Now, can you believe, though, that with that mark, I analysed every mark lost and wasn't that thrilled, because I actually wanted 100 out of 100. And when I received my mark and saw that it was 95 out of 100, I instantly started searching for where I lost marks and how I could improve. Is this super healthy? Perhaps not. Is this very type A personality? Yes. I'm a little more balanced these days in my approach, but people often ask me the secret sauce. And I guess that's kind of, you know, this is the kind of mindset that is going to bring results. I think what I'm going to share with you in today's episode will frustrate some of you, because it requires a lot of effort and work, but nothing worth having, you know, comes easy. And I think sometimes people are always looking, especially in the ballet world, for the hack or the quick tip, or what's this tool I can buy? You know, what can I spend $50 on that's going to transform my technique? And it's just not going to happen. Yes. So what I'm going to share with you today is things that are really tangible, things that work, things that anyone can do, things that are free, you know, besides obviously your ballet classes, but these things I'm sharing with you are free to do. And I always find that they are the things that no one wants to do. So I have today six key strategies for absolutely nailing your exam and not only walking out feeling really confident, but also with a fabulous mark. If you do everything that I mention, and I mean everything, you will pull off a fabulous mark. Yes, talent is nice, but talent, like I said, will only get you so far. Natural ability will only get you so far. It's always the hardest worker in the room, I truly believe this, that lands on top. But you can't just do a couple of these things, okay? You need to do it all in order for this to work. Now, if you're just looking to sort of bump up your mark, you know, just improve a little bit, you're not too fussed, do a couple of these things and see what happens. But if you are determined to get like an incredible mark, do all of these things and I promise you, your mark will just go through the roof. First one is all about focus and support from peers. So firstly, let's talk about the importance of focus and support from your peers. I always focused on myself during class, but I positioned myself behind other students who were really motivated or kind of pushed me to do my absolute best. I honestly looked at the students who were excelling in class and I stood near them. I think vibes attract vibes. I think that if you're standing behind someone who's kind of sloppy, lacking confidence or lacking attention to detail, that will rub off on you. Yeah. So try and position yourself next to someone at the bar or in the center that is really going to push you to be your absolute best. Having supportive peers can really make a significant difference in your journey. They can really inspire you to push your limits and strive for excellence. And look, there were times when I felt tired or demotivated. I'm not always motivated, guys, yeah? But seeing my peers working hard beside me really encouraged me to keep going. So I'd love you to surround yourself with positive influences and really embrace the support of your fellow dancers. I can't tell you how many times I will look around the room and it is so obvious the students who are excelling, who are driven, who are motivated, are all standing near each other and vibing off each other's energy. And the people that are sort of like, oh, I'm just here because, you know, it's something to do during the week, they bounce off each other's energy as well. And so you kind of have to decide. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably in that first group, high vibes, high energy, you know, high motivation. Yes, you want that high excellence, you know, results. Yeah, just know that who you hang out with will rub off on you. Now, journaling and corrections. So this is something else I did. After every class, I would diligently write down my corrections in a journal, and this practice helped me to remember and reflect on what I needed to work on. You see, as a child, I was fanatical about this, and it really paid off in my progress and my performance. And each correction was really just like a valuable nugget of wisdom that I could refer back to and focus on improving. It wasn't just about writing them down. It was about internalizing them and absorbing them and really actively working to address them in my practice sessions. So I'd love you to grab yourself a notebook, a dance journal. I often ask my students to, especially my school age students, to keep a dance journal and start jotting down those corrections. You'll be really amazed at how much it can accelerate your progress. In regards to my adult students, even if they're not doing ballet exams, a big part of my 12-week adult ballet course is journaling. And my students have found really quite a lot of value in this, in being able to absorb their corrections instead of just like verbally, but writing them down just has a whole new depth to them and they seem to stick. Now, the third thing is consistent attendance and preparation. So it's kind of like people who buy a gym membership to go to the gym and they think that that is going to create a healthier lifestyle and a better body just by owning the membership. I see people that, you know, pay term fees for ballet but never show up. If you do not show up to the actual class, there's only so much your teacher can do. Yep, there's only so much results you will see. So consistency is key in ballet training, and I very, very rarely missed class. Ask my mom when I was younger and I was, you know, a young ballet student, I would have to be dying basically. I was about to have my appendix out and I wanted to still go on stage. Like, that's how bad it was. I actually hid from my parents. Look, I'm not saying that this is healthy, but I hid from my parents how sick I was feeling, which resulted in my appendix being removed. But I didn't tell them because I was like just dying to do the performance and the exam that was coming up. I'm not saying that that's healthy, but I'm just saying that that's the level of like wanting to be at class that is kind of required for excellence in your results. Look, I'm all about balance. You know that, yes? But I think what I'm trying to get across in this episode today is if you want to reach that next level, instead of perhaps maybe pushing through, you know, maybe you've got a little bit of a a runny nose and you're not feeling great, you could actually sit in the corner, and I've spoken about this before, with your journal and follow along class, you know, through your mind and write down whatever's coming out of the teacher's mouth. So you've got a book full of corrections that she's given the whole class. There are other things you can do. Yeah. But yeah, like even on days, like, because I don't want people to think that I never, you know, not wanted to go, because even on days when I didn't feel like going to class, I just reminded myself of my goals and the importance of showing up. So make attendance and preparation a priority in your ballet journey. It will really set you apart from the rest and pave the way for success. I feel like I need to reiterate that I'm not telling people to push through pain or to push through illness. What I'm saying is that you need to prioritize your attendance, yes, and not when you don't just don't feel like it today, not go. Yeah, it is so, so important, okay? We need to find that balance. Now, next one is practice at home. I took my preparation seriously. I asked my teacher for a copy of the ballet exam music so I could practice at home. And yes, back then it was really difficult. You'd bring in a cassette, a little tape. Your teacher would record the ballet exam music on your tape. And I just remember, like, you wouldn't get the tape back for like a couple of weeks because it would take her a while. And then I remember the sound of rewinding the tape as I repeated exercises over and over again. So funny. So these days, I actually tell my students, if you want a copy of the music, in fact, if you would like a copy of the video, I will give it to you. You just need to come in with a USB. So simple. No rewinding of tapes. You instantly get it. And you know what? It's really interesting. The students that I feel like need that music, need the video, need something to practice with at home, never ask me for it. And the students that I feel like are really confident and really capable, they tend to be the ones that are like banging down my door wanting it all, which is just a really interesting observation. But yeah, consistent practice outside of class is just really essential for mastery. It's actually simply not enough to rely solely on your class time to improve. You need to put in the extra effort at home and refine your skills and build strength. I'd love you to find a quiet space. You don't need a huge amount of space, where you can just focus and dedicate time each day to practice. Now, I don't mean every single day, you know, for the rest of eternity. I mean, if you've got a ballet exam coming up a month or two out, you should be going through that work, yeah, every single day, if you want those top tier marks. Yeah. I'm not talking today's episode, guys. I'm not talking to people who are like, you know, happy with, you know, just like an, you know, average mark. And there's actually nothing wrong with that. Today I'm talking to people who want that excellence. Yeah. So I'm saying every single day you should be absorbing, not necessarily standing up and doing the full bar and center, but you could be watching an exercise you found a bit tricky in class. Yeah. That would take literally 10 minutes of just watching it a few times over and over again. Maybe the next day you're actually practicing that standing up, you know, in your bedroom. And so, you know, every single day in the lead up to your exam for a couple of months, you should be absorbing some kind of content from your ballet exam. Whether it's sort of working on, like I said, a specific exercise, kind of reviewing maybe the choreography of your variation, your dance, or stretching or some kind of strength work, every bit of practice counts towards your progress. And I don't want you to forget to pay attention to these finer details. I want you to focus on refining your technique, your musicality, your expression with each repetition. Sometimes I used to actually just put the music on and listen to it. And I would find that I would like just take notice of bits in the music that I hadn't noticed before when I was in class. Because obviously when you're in class, you're focusing on a million other things. And so it was actually nice to just listen to my ballet exam music on its own. And that requires a little effort. You can just lie on your bed, close your eyes, listen to the music. And so then next time you're in class, your artistic expression comes through even more so because you notice this little tiny note in the music that you didn't notice before. And by practicing at home, you'll not only improve your performance, but you'll also build lots of confidence in your abilities. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is treating every class as a performance. Every class, really for me as a young student, was a chance to showcase my best work. I honestly treated my teacher like the examiner. I had sort of no nerves around the actual examiner on the day because in my mind, my teacher and her opinion of me and my work and her words was so much more important. I treated her like the examiner, and this ensured that I gave my all and I really was open to receiving constructive feedback. This mindset helped me stay focused and really motivated throughout my training. And I guess it's really easy to sort of slack off in class, and especially when you're tired or you're not feeling your best, but I always reminded myself that every class was an opportunity to improve and impress. And by treating each class as a performance, I really pushed myself to work harder and strive for excellence. And I made sure to arrive early, I warmed up properly, I was mentally prepared just to give my best effort. And when it came time to perform in the classroom, my exam, I approached each exercise with just like lots of intention and lots of artistry. And even if I made mistakes, I used them as sort of like a learning opportunity to really grow and improve. So next time you step into the studio, I want you to think of it as, you know, as a stage, yeah? And give it your all. You never know who might be watching or what you might achieve. Now, obviously, little caveat, I know that sometimes we're not feeling fabulous and we go into class and just us being there and showing up is, you know, amazing. But I'm talking to the students who want amazing marks, but they kind of show up almost every second lesson, you should be happy I'm here and then expect amazing results. It doesn't work like that. Okay, the last one I want to talk about is analyzing results and seeking improvement. So as I mentioned, upon receiving my results, I would analyze every single mark I missed out on, looking for the areas of just improvement, yes, and this self-reflection. Oh, it just really allowed me to identify weaknesses and work on them for future exams. It's easy to be disappointed by a less than perfect score. Hello, Georgia type A personality. But I saw it as a chance to learn and grow. And I carefully reviewed each section of the exam, noting where I did well, where I could do better. Did I struggle with certain steps or combinations? Did I lose focus at any point? Sort of by asking myself these questions, I was able to pinpoint areas that needed improvement and create a plan to address them. Whether it was practicing specific exercises, strengthening weak areas, or improving my performance quality, I was always striving to be better, and the results really spoke for themselves. With each exam, I saw improvement, I saw progress, not just in my scores, but in my overall dancing ability. And so I don't want anyone to be afraid to critique yourself. I also think that we could probably, you know, also celebrate our wins. Like, I should have probably celebrated my 95 out of 100 from my Advanced Foundation Royal Academy of Dance exam. But, you know, like, I do think that if you're striving for excellence and if that's your game plan, you're still looking at that mark and going, where can I improve? Yeah. Celebrate. Let's balance it out. Celebrate, but also look at where you can improve. So don't be afraid, like I said, to critique yourself honestly. And I want you to embrace feedback as a tool for growth. And I want you to use it to become really just the best dancer you can be. And so I thought it would be kind of fun to actually look at my advanced foundation and sort of analyze it live on air of what marks I actually did miss out on. So the way it was broken down, technique and bar, I got 9 out of 10. Technique, which was port de bras, center practice and pirouettes, 9 out of 10. Adage was 10 out of 10. Allegro was 10 out of 10. Point work was 10 out of 10. Music timing and rhythm was 9 out of 10. And then music responsiveness to music was 9 out of 10. Really interesting because I kind of pride myself on my musicality. So I was a little bit like annoyed. I was like, oh my gosh, I should have got 10 out of 10 here. They were easy marks. My musicality is fabulous. I was really grumpy at myself. And then performance, I got 9 out of 10. Dance technique was 10 out of 10, and dance music and performance was 10 out of 10. Interesting when I look at this, how that's 10 out of 10 when both my music timing and responsiveness were both nines. Don't know how that makes sense. But anyway, see, look, I still can't like let it go even at 33. fun fact, 95 out of 100 was actually not my highest mark. My highest mark was for, I think it was a grade 6 ballet exam, and I think it was 97. I'm actually struggling to find those old exam marks. but if I do, I'll post it on Instagram at The Balanced Ballerina if I find it. But I'll definitely post this one for you to have a look. So, so I just thought I'd share with you the last ballet exam I ever did and how I went. And so it's just fun looking back and just thinking about, you know, how driven I was as a young student. And I look at my students today and they want to know the secret sauce. And look, there's actually no secret. It's just hard work, and it is just focus and just lots of like energy. Yes. Going into the studio with good vibes, high energy. Now, look, in conclusion, achieving high distinctions in ballet exams are not the be-all and end-all, but achieving your best mark is. Okay, if you want to achieve excellence, if you want to improve your mark, if you want to get your highest mark yet, consistency and a proactive mindset is key. It's not something that happens overnight. It takes months of preparation and hard work. If you've got a ballet exam coming up in August and September, like I know a lot of students do, now is the time to knuckle down. Like knuckle down, okay? Start implementing these actions now, not just a few weeks before your exam, and be the student who is willing to put in the effort and watch how quickly you'll improve. I can't tell you how many times I see students in class who start putting in the effort 2 weeks before, and I think to myself, how amazing would it be if you actually started this 2 months before your exam, not 2 weeks? Their results would just be, you know, through the roof. And there's only so much motivation and, you know, inspirational talks that your teacher can give you. I mean, you can imagine with everything that I do and the podcast and, you know, the information I provide that during class, I try and be the most inspirational teacher. My students get what I talk to you about on the podcast, they get that in class. And I still can't reach some people. You know, it is up to you. So remember though, it's not just about the marks, it's about the journey of self-improvement and growth. And I just want you to be super happy with your results. If you enjoyed this episode, please go share it with a friend that you think might find it useful. Leave a 5-star review, or, you know, leave me a comment and let me know how much you enjoyed this episode on the episode tile on Instagram at The Balanced Ballerina or at Balanced Ballerinas. I hope you all have a wonderful week filled with lots of peace and plies. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.